Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local man has received a national award for his work for the state fire marshal. Let's go in-depth with Brian Bishop from Knoxville. So, Brian, what does the state fire marshal's office that you work for do?
Our office has a lot of diverse responsibilities. We range from training firefighters to providing arson and investigations and bomb squad functions, as well as providing building and fire code enforcement for state buildings and other public buildings like schools and hospitals and those type of buildings throughout the state.
And what's your role?
My role at the fire marshal's office is a plans examiner. So I look at all the plans for new construction that come through the office for those state buildings, hospitals, schools. I'm mostly responsible for a lot of the state buildings throughout the state, so the state-owned buildings like the Iowa State Fair, the state universities, the University of Iowa, Iowa State, and University of Northern Iowa.
And so what exactly does that mean? What's like a typical day for you?
So what my role in the whole thing is to look at the construction documents that come in for new projects and make sure that those buildings are meeting the minimum building code, fire code, meeting these minimum standards so that when they're built, they're going to more than likely meet all the codes that they were to be built for. We still have inspectors that verify that what we approved on the plans is going in as installed in the field. But our job is trying to kind of, you know, catch all that from the beginning to make sure that it's all safe as the building is proposed to be built.
And is this by state code or by some international code?
Well, it's a state-adopted code, but our codes that we follow are based on a national standard that's called the international. They're produced by the International Code Council, which they produce the International Building Code and the International Fire Code. And those are kind of the two big documents that we examine our documents to.
All right, and is that changing all the time?
The code cycle changes every 3 years, and that's really just to accommodate, you know, new technologies that come into the building world, you know, with, you know, there's always changing technologies on how buildings are put together and how they can, you know, save energy and how that affects the other parts of the building in terms of, you know, fire safety and how you can get out of a building safely, that sort of thing.
Do architects all know it? You would think that they would all know this, do they?
Well, we always hope that they do, but there's always a learning curve because, you know, sometimes there can be very big changes every 3 years and you got to stay on top of it. You know, our number one goal when we adopt codes is always kind of inform the users, the architects, the engineers, that what those changes are and how they relate to what our current process is. And, you know, how they need to adjust their plans and their specifications for those code changes.
But they should know. I mean, they really should know, shouldn't they, when they're designing something?
Correct. They really should keep on top of that. And plenty of architects nationwide are involved in the code changes process. The International Code Council votes on these changes every 3 years, and they develop the codes nationwide through you know, different code officials that work for, you know, cities and states, and then also architects and engineers, as well as, you know, product manufacturers, want to make sure that, you know, all this new technology is getting, that would be going into a building, is getting wrapped up into these, you know, proposed changes, and that they're getting a good document at the end when the new code comes out.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Brian Bishop with the State Fire Marshal's Office. Now, are there any buildings, public buildings, or prominent buildings that we might recognize that you've worked on?
I've worked at the new, at the Iowa State Fair, the new Jacobson building, the big enclosed horse arena. I was responsible for that building. The Iowa State, I'm currently working on the Iowa State University's football stadium expansion. And I've done the previous additions that happened there, as well as the football training facilities at both Iowa and Iowa State University as well.
Now, I bet that on occasion there's, let's just say, an interesting dialogue that goes on that people don't want to do what their code says they have to do. Does that happen?
On a daily basis, usually, yes. And, you know, a lot of things happen behind the scenes that we can, you know, it's kind of a give and take between us and the architects. But we got to, you know, hold our ground to make sure those minimum standards are getting enforced.
Mm-hmm. But you might find some way to make it less expensive for them to do or something. Is that the main problem, expense?
Typically it's expense, and sometimes it's kind of that, you know, whole lack of knowledge. If a architect or engineer didn't realize the certain provision applied to their project, and a lot of times it does come down to expense. And we're always trying to work with the architect and engineer to understand and, you know, help them find a solution. We can't do any type of designing. We can just tell them what the provisions are, but there's always, you know, things that we've dealt with in the past and you know, past issues that kind of how we've resolved them that we can kind of build off of to see if there's any other solutions that would be possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet the architect doesn't like going back and telling the client that, well, this thing I told you that's going to cost $4 million is really going to cost $4.5 million.
Yeah, we've had several situations where that's what's been the case, and it's always, you know, difficult to do that. But in the end, you got to do your job and enforce the minimum standard. And sometimes it's unfortunate that you kind of have to be the bearer of bad news, but we still have a job to do.
And it's in the interest of public safety.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, we're just, you know, we're doing what the code says, but those minimum standards are there for a reason to make and, you know, ensure public safety and the welfare of the public utilizing that building.
Now, I understand that you just won a recent award. Can you tell us about that?
I had the pleasure of receiving the International Code Council Code Official of the Year. It was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at their annual business meeting, and at the end of September, I was fortunate enough to receive that award for a variety of different things that I've done for the State Fire Marshal's Office, and I was just happy to be recognized to get that award.
And what did you do?
Well, the main reason that I was nominated for the award is I've been working with the Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management Division, as well as the Architects Association throughout the state and a couple of the engineering associations. And we've been developing a team that would go out after flooding and tornado and other natural disaster events throughout Iowa and provide those communities that have been stricken by these disasters with building inspections to go tell, you know, those communities that if their homes or businesses are safe to reenter and, you know, just provide those services to tell them how much damage has taken place. And, you know, sometimes they need that extra information for other recovery efforts through, you know, Homeland Security and Emergency Management and FEMA and that sort of thing. But our main reason is really to provide it the information on whether they're safe to reenter the buildings.
And so you set up an organizational structure for that, or you set up the team? Is it something other places will replicate?
Yeah, correct. We set up a organizational structure. It's a specialty team as designated by the Iowa Homeland Security Emergency Management Division. And with the structure that's there, we would provide, the Fire Marshal's Office would provide the oversight, and we provide staff to oversee the kind of the field operations, but then we would utilize the volunteers of the architectural and engineering firms, as well as other building officials, maybe from a county or a city nearby, where we could utilize those that personnel to provide the expertise to these communities that might not have the services to provide building inspections after disasters.
Because you just don't want us thinking, it looks okay to me, and going in and using it.
Exactly. You want to have somebody that's trained in construction techniques and design, and they have the ability to really analyze a structure and say, well, this has been pushed off its foundation, or it's, this foundation wall is cracked, something that we have some expertise there to provide the technical services that's needed to provide that level of safety for a community.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Brian Bishop with the State Fire Marshal's Office. You're getting me thinking about, if I'm remembering right, the 2008 Attica tornado. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of buildings that were damaged. I mean, some of it was clear they were destroyed. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking of the church, Methodist Church, I believe. There was cracks going up the walls, and there was some concern at the beginning. And I don't know really what happened, but that's the kind of thing where we could call the fire marshal's office, and then you would bring out the experts to tell us.
Correct. That would be an exact scenario that we would do. From 2007 to current, I think our office has been called for some type of disaster, whether it's flooding or tornadoes or just a general building collapse, which you've had in the state of Iowa as well. And, it would be that scenario that, a tornado goes through a town. They don't have the capacity of having a local building department where they can provide those inspections. They could call the State Fire Marshal's office, and we would be able to provide that function for them. We're still kind of in the planning stages of this team. We're really close to kind of providing an official press release on it, but we hope to have that in the coming months to make sure that all the proper officials know that this service is available.
Now, certainly something like this has to exist elsewhere, but maybe not. I'm just thinking of all the disasters, Katrina and Sandy, and all, where those big disasters are. You think they'd have figured it out there, have they?
There has been other states in the Midwest have scenarios like this. Indiana is one of them that has a similar situation, and we actually talked with Indiana extensively to kind of get their model on how they do things, as well as the state of Kansas, since they have a lot of tornadoes that go through that state every year. They have a very similar situation where they utilize a volunteer network between their architect community as well as their building inspection community, and we kind of took the best of both worlds of those programs and kind of wrapped it into the program that Iowa wants to start.
Now, if there was a huge disaster, you'd probably have to call in additional resources than the team you probably have, sketched out now.
Yeah, we have the ability to, if there was a huge disaster, we could have the team we have now, and there's always the ability with the states within the emergency management network, they have the ability to call upon other states to utilize their teams to come to our state, to Iowa, if we had a huge disaster. But along with this specialty team status that we've provided with this building inspection team, we would have the ability to do the same. So if another state had a disaster, we would now have an established team. We could provide that function to another state as well.
And so you've got to get the word out about this to local fire officials, emergency management, law enforcement, city government, and I guess the public as well.
Correct. And the biggest users of this would be kind of the county emergency management community, as well as the fire service industry as well. That would be probably the biggest users of this function.
And so when in a disaster, the contact person would be the emergency management coordinator.
Correct. Correct. That's kind of our target contact for any disaster. It would be the county emergency manager.
Well, what's next for you? What big plans do you have on the horizon?
Right now, it's really just keeping doing the job that I'm doing for the State Fire Marshal's Office and making sure that I'm doing the best that I can do for them. I love working with, you know, building code. Some people say that might be odd, but I really love the job that I do for the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Thanks to Brian Bishop for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.